This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to another Joy 94.9 podcast.
I'm joined in the studio by Patrick Hoonan, who is one of the zookeepers at Melbourne Zoo. Now, his specialty is spiders, and there happens to be 2,500 known species of spider in Australia, and most people, well, I guess they either love them or hate them. Research has actually found that arachnophobia is probably the most common phobia in Western society, with about 10% of Australian men and up to 50% of Australian women feeling fear of some sort when it comes to spiders. Thank you very much for joining us today, Patrick.
It's a pleasure, Adam.
Now, tell me a little bit more about your role at Melbourne Zoo.
I'm called the invertebrate specialist, so I deal with spiders and all other creatures without backbones.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a team of us there that do it, and the main thing we look after is the butterfly house.
Okay, got you.
But all the other 95% of animal species come under us as well.
I understand, got you. Because I guess invertebrates, they're more the smaller animals and that type of thing. They're not, you know, your big fuzzy tigers and elephants and that type of thing, but they still take, you know, in the big scheme of things, invertebrates make up a large amount of the animal species on this world, on this earth, is that right?
Yes. More than, almost 100%, about 98% of all species on Earth are invertebrates.
Wow.
And they don't get much prominence in zoos as a general rule.
Mm.
So we set up the butterfly house about 20 years ago to try and display some of the forgotten animals. But a lot of them also are in need of conservation just as much as other bigger animals. And I'm sure that a lot of people think that spiders don't need conservation or even don't deserve conservation, but like all animals, they're threatened by all the same processes that threaten the pandas and the elephants and things like that.
So what are the main things that are threatening or causing them to become endangered?
Well, around the world, the main one would be habitat destruction, mm-hmm. like a lot of other animals, but also over-collecting. A lot of spiders, particularly the big tarantulas, are collected for the pet trade or for people just to have as specimens. And there's about 20 species of tarantula that are listed as CITES, which means you're not allowed to trade in them from one country to the next. And even in Australia, there's thought to be about 80 species that are in need of conservation.
Wow, you're telling me about 10,000 are collected in Queensland a year of one certain breed.
Yes, that's a bird-eating spider, which I've brought.
You've actually brought one along? Now, do they actually eat birds?
No, they're ground-dwelling, so they generally don't encounter birds. They're probably large enough to eat a bird. They certainly eat small lizards and things like that, but they mainly eat crickets and other insects. And she's about 7 or 8 centimetres long in the body, and with the legs much larger. And it's thought that the bird story came from farmers who said that they used to steal their chooks and drag them down their burrows. But I find that
would be a very impressive feat for that. It's still large. It's about 7 or 8 centimetres for everyone listening. But yeah, I can't see it dragging a chook down a hole. I'd be impressed if it did.
Yes, and these are very commonly collected from the wild for pet trade. They're sold in shops all around Australia, including in Melbourne. And they sell for up to $200 or $250 a spider. And there is an estimate that there's about 10,000 of these spiders being collected in Queensland every year and being sent around Australia for the trade.
Wow. Now, people might have two reactions when they see a spider like that. They might go, wow, what a beautiful spider. I want one as a pet. Oh, my God, look at it. Kill it.
Yes. Which, well, I have the former.
Yes.
I think she's gorgeous.
Mm.
And a lot of people buy them because they do like the look of them, but they make quite good pets because they're low maintenance, but they don't actually do much. They're nocturnal, so they're active at night, and during the day they just sit around. And some people often get bored with them and then just let them go. And it's probably about a third of those 10,000 that are collected actually die fairly quickly.
Wow.
After being collected from the wild. And there's no really regulation in that trade. There's some call at the moment for the trade to be regulated just to make sure the spiders are looked after. And the other problem is that no one really knows anything about their wild populations.
So okay.
People are collecting them, but there's a whole lot of different species, and the species are very hard to tell apart.
Gotcha.
So we don't know whether we're over-collecting one species or whether we're collecting broadly across the board.
I guess it's also easier to count something like pandas, but counting spiders is a little bit trickier.
Yes, and that's a big issue with conservation, is that there might be spiders are endangered, but no one's out there studying them.
Got you, I understand. Now, for people that would go, squash it, it's gonna do something bad. You know, it might eat me, it might bite me, it might kill me, something like that. Why? What use are spiders? Why do we need to look after spiders?
Well, they have, as far as I'm concerned, and anyone interested in conservation, they have their sort of own intrinsic right to be around. They also play a really important part in ecosystems. A lot of these spiders only live in very small areas. So spiders like this bird-eating spider, there might be an entire species that lives in a valley, and they might have been there for hundreds of thousands of years. So they're a really important part of the ecosystem in that area. And if they disappear, then the ecosystem gets affected in all sorts of different ways, usually ways that we don't know. But when it's studied, it's found that you can't lose a species without having an impact on other species. But from a human point of view, spiders are out there in our gardens 24 hours a day doing biological control, collecting all the pests in our garden. There's also a lot of research being done at the moment on spider venoms.
Okay, yes. And
they're finding all sorts of wonder miracles that the spider venoms can have for medicine. And that's only in the very beginning of that field. And it's actually called bioprospecting, where people collect venoms and just see what they can do. And we know so little about these spiders that we don't want to lose them before some sort of miracle cures found for all sorts of problems.
For sure. So I guess as well as your role of actually studying and breeding spiders, it would also, I guess, part of your role is PR for spiders.
Absolutely.
So one of your things you've actually done is you've worked with NASA. We might go to a song and then we'll come back and find out a little bit more about that.
Okay. Give it to Mama.
Beyonce there, and Green Light here on Joy 94.9. I'm joined by Patrick Honan, who is the invertebrate specialist at the Melbourne Zoo. How are we doing there? How's our lady spider doing?
She's resting comfortably.
She's resting. Good, good, good. Now, you tell me a little bit about this study that you're involved with, in Spiders in Space with NASA.
Well, we sent seven spiders up on the Space Shuttle Columbia in 2003. And unfortunately, the Columbia was the shuttle that broke up on return. So our intention was to send spiders up into space to see whether or not they could build webs without gravity. And we also planned to bring them back to Earth and collect the silk that they'd made up in space and actually bring them back to Melbourne Zoo. But because the Columbia broke up, we weren't able to do that. But we worked in conjunction with Glen Waverley Secondary College. So it was a school's project that I was giving advice on how to look after spiders and what sort of things to do as far as the research went. It was part of a bigger project because NASA's planning to go to Mars in the next few years, next 15 years or so, and it's a 6 months to 2 year journey, so the astronauts are going to have to grow their own food, and inevitably down the track, if you're growing food in space, you're going to get some sort of insect pest in there, no matter what they do. And rather than control those pests chemically, the idea was to control them biologically using spiders. But we didn't know whether spiders could actually build proper webs in space. So we sent up the spiders and we sent up some fruit flies with them. And we had cameras on them, so we watched them for 16 days as they built their webs. And the astronauts actually collected web for us as well. And part of that was that spider silk is the strongest known natural fibre, and it's stronger than steel and very flexible, and really humans don't have any material that comes close to being as versatile. But no one's ever been able to replicate spider silk artificially, and a lot of that research does go on up in space, because without gravity molecules line up differently and you can get insights into how to make things artificially on Earth.
Okay.
So the astronauts did collect silk. They were supposed to return it, but obviously we never got it. From our point of view, as you mentioned before, we tried to do a lot of PR for spiders because they pretty much need it. And so wherever possible, we try and point out to people that the general fear of spiders that there is something that they it's possible to get over. It's something that doesn't need to rule their lives, and it's also something that's not really based in fact. So we try and put spiders in a good light, but also to show that spiders have use, not only out in the wild, in the ecology, do they have a really important role to play, but they have use for humans as well.
Got you. And one of the things is, out of the 2,500 spider species in Australia, only two of them can actually give a fatal bite.
Yes, and that's a redback and the Sydney funnel web, and there's anti-venoms for those. So even though they can give a fatal bite, since we've had anti-venoms for the last few decades, no one's died. People still get bitten. And other than those, there's probably four or five species of spider that will bite. And the bite is generally around about a bee sting, something like that, no worse. And so all the rest of the spiders are completely harmless.
Wow. I just remember one little myth I remember hearing when I was a child, is daddy long legs, their venom would be fatal, but they can actually pierce our skin. Is that true, or is that
no,
a myth?
No, that's not true at all. In fact, just about everything you've ever heard about spiders is not true.
Fair enough.
There are many, many myths, and mostly propagated through the media in various ways, or also popular culture. I mean, when we grow up, hearing nursery rhymes and fairy stories about spiders, and the spider's always in a bad light. If you think of all the movies that have ever been made, the only good one I know is Charlotte's Web, where the spider's in a good light.
True.
Every other one, the spider's the villain. Or even in movies, you know, there's quite a few movies called Black Widow, where the spiders don't actually feature, but they're using the metaphor of the spider.
The connotation that it is a scary, kind of creepy thing.
And so we're bombarded with that constantly, and so it's no wonder that people have a bad view of spiders.
For sure. Now, one other thing that the Melbourne Zoo is doing to help people combat this fear of spiders or arachnophobia is you're actually running a course.
Yes, there are people whose fear of spiders actually affects their life in quite dramatic ways. So we're working with a trained psychologist and hypnotherapist to help people overcome these fears they have of spiders. And our next session is this Saturday, but we have ongoing sessions. If anyone's interested, they can go to the zoo website, which is zoo.org.au, and all the information's there.
Now, you must be a minimum of 18 years of age, and there's a maximum of 20 participants per workshop, is correct? So
that's
get
right.
In quick.
Yes, and because, as you mentioned before, you hear these things about the daddy long legs, a lot of what we do is just sort of dispel those myths.
Gotcha.
And we find that as soon as people get some knowledge, and, you know, knowledge is power, and so the more they know about spiders, the less they fear them.
Fair enough. Now, obviously, with spiders, they're not dangerous, so we often get them in our houses. What would you recommend we do if we find a spider in our house?
Well, they're a lot better off in the garden where they do their work. The easiest thing is to get a clear container of some sort, like a glass, put it over the top of the spider if it's on a wall, and then slide a bit of card underneath, and then you can just take that outside. And in fact, the last arachnophobia course we had, there was a girl there who was so scared of spiders she couldn't actually look at them. Even when we'd been through the course, we give people an opportunity to look at spiders and even handle spiders, and she was so scared that she couldn't do that. But she did ring up about a week later to say that she had gone home and found a huntsman on the wall of her house, and normally she'd run screaming from the house and ring 000 or whatever severe arachnophobes do. But she actually, even though she was terrified, she did go in, get the container, put the spider in it and let it go outside. And she's very excited by that.
Oh, good.
Because it really had changed the way she could live her life.
For sure.
She's no longer as scared of them as she was.
Well, Patrick, thank you very much for joining us today at Joy 94.9.
It's a pleasure.
I think it's really important that people kind of are aware that spiders do have a role, an important role to play, and, some are actually endangered. So next time you reach for a thong to squash one, you're actually doing more damage than good, and definitely just take them outside where they'll harm no one and actually do some good. Thank you very much for joining us.
No worries.
You're on Joy 94.9. Adam Barrowley with you here. It is 20 minutes to 12. Thought this song might be relevant now. We can't talk to the animals, but we can definitely talk about them.
If I could talk to the animals, just imagine it, chatting with a chimp and chimpanzee. Imagine talking to a tiger, chatting with a cheetah.
This has been another Joy 94.9 podcast. Joy 94.9 is a gay and lesbian volunteer-based community radio station committed to providing a voice for the diverse GLBTI communities. You can support our work by becoming a member or making a donation. For details, go to joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.